Welcome to Ghost of a Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Lignato. I'm an astrologer, psychic medium, and animal communicator, and I'm going to give you your weekly horoscope and no bullshit mystical advice for living your very best life. Dana, welcome to the podcast. What would you like a reading about?
I'm going to read my question. Should I, Jessica, disinvite all straight people from my gay wedding? My girlfriend and I are in a struggle about how or if we want to involve our straight families in our gay wedding this fall. We've been enjoying a period of abundance together and separately around queer and trans friendships, and it has brought up a lot for us both about past self-abandonment, especially around over-accommodating cis-straight family who mean well but tread uncomfortably around queerness. The idea of celebrating our wedding without family feels like it could be affirming and a relief in some ways, but devastating in others. I am concerned about losing the opportunity to bring my three younger siblings into my life, and my partner is grieving the recent loss of their dad and feeling painfully disconnected from family already. I have made some decisions at this moment around intentionally not inviting certain family members, and the backlash seems to prove that people aren't quite able to hold that our gay wedding is going to be really gay. I think my girlfriend and I are concerned about being seen and supported in ways that feel actually good to us. Is it better to feel witnessed on this day by our queer community or to call in all of our friends and family into an experience of celebrating queer love? I'm curious if there's anything in my very Capricorn heavy chart that I can lean on to help me navigate these decisions for myself and as a partner. Thank you for everything. Your weekly advice is always so valuable to me.
Thank you. Okay. So, first of all, you were born January 10th, 1994, 3:06 a.m. in San Francisco.
Correct.
California. So I have to say, when I pulled up your chart, because, you know, I pick the question, I don't really look at the chart. And I had forgotten that you had said that you had a very Capricorn heavy chart. But I mean, I had like an inferiority complex when I saw your chart. My God, you have so much Capricorn in your chart.
It's so loaded.
Yeah. I mean, almost everything in your chart is in Capricorn. It's stunning. So that said, congratulations on getting married.
Thank you.
Very exciting. I have a couple qualifying questions as I do. The first one is, y'all are getting married. Who's paying for it?
We are.
Okay. The two of you are paying for it completely out of pocket.
We might be getting a small amount of help from my mom.
From your mom.
But it's a very low maintenance wedding. When we budgeted it, is going to come out to like just over 10 grand, which I know is like, that's a lot of money, but it's also
a lot. But for a wedding, it is. Yeah. For the wedding industry,
it's something
industry,
that we can
pay
for ourselves.
Okay. And this is like a weird place to come from straight out the gate, but watch me get weird straight out the gate. Would your or your partner's parents be willing to pay for a wedding if it was more to their liking?
I don't think either of us would ever ask. I think if I could get over asking for that kind of support, it would be a negotiation, but it definitely wouldn't be a no from my parents. But both of us come from families that are like pretty historically broke. So that's a part of not wanting to ask. Mm-hmm. And then I also think both of us feel really protective about being able to do this on our terms. Mm-hmm. And also, neither of us have moms in particular who have ever had any wedding fantasies for us.
I see. Okay.
It's not like charged up in that way.
In that particular way. So I'll just tell you why I asked. I am a fan of whenever possible in a situation like this, and there's a lot of contexts under which this kind of thing can happen where you're just like, my family does not get my life choices and the wedding that I want to have. And so I'm actually a fan of the two wedding. The like gay as fuck wedding and then the family wedding or some version of that. And, you know, that can be very expensive. It can also not be expensive at all, depending on how you do a thing. So I wanted to just like lead with that question because I am curious, like, is it possible that you don't have to choose? Instead, you have to finesse.
Sure. Can I give a little context about how we've come into this? Okay, cool. So we decided to get married about a year and a half. Well, we decided to get engaged, and to be totally like queer and transparent, like we're still not totally sure how important it is to actually get married. I think there are some protections that sound important, but I've heard you talk about your forever fiance, and I feel like that's a relationship model that could work for us. So that part feels TBD, but I think in part because we are in this moment of having such great community where we are, it feels like it's a great opportunity to celebrate that. But because neither of us have really ever had wedding fantasies or definitely have no interest in being brides, like we're both pretty non-binary, it feels like I also worked as a wedding florist for a really long time.
Okay.
So there's like baggage in all sorts of places.
Yeah.
We decided to just have a dance party and invite everyone to our gay wedding dance party. I think that was our compromise. So there's not really a plan for a ceremony or anything. So it feels like the ask to bring family in has almost been a little bit like tongue in cheek, like, oh, hey, like conservative grandma, you are invited to our gay wedding dance party and you get to decide whether or not you want to come. And again, I felt I felt a little bit cheeky and like controversial for doing that. And now I'm having this like, wait, I think it's like a boundary anxiety that's coming up for me. Like, do I want anyone who's not gay to know anything about my gay life? Are they going to make it a problem for me? Is it like I have this really progressive family that's super accepting, but then all of a sudden it's a wedding and all of their, you know, like flexible social politics go out the window because there's all these expectations for what a wedding is supposed to be.
That's what's happening, or that's what you're scared is happening?
I think I'm afraid of it, and it's happening a little bit, but it's subtle.
Okay.
My immediate family, like my parents and my three siblings, are pretty great and on it, but they're like, they open doors to other parts of the family that I feel much more nervous about.
Okay. And those people have RSVP'd?
We haven't even sent out
great
official invitations yet.
Okay, great. Okay, I've got one more question and then we'll dive in. And you said that your partner has lost their father. Do you mean that their father passed away, or that the relationship ended? Oh, their father passed away.
Passed away like a year and some change ago.
Recently, really recently.
Last year.
So listen, you have the biggest stellium in Capricorn I've ever seen. So very Capricorn. Now it's intercepted in the second house. And so there's a lot we can talk about there. But before we do that, I will name that Uranus is conjunct your Venus, your Sun, your Mercury, and Neptune. And so it gives you both a very traditional nature in some ways and a very fucking out there eccentric nature in others, right? So very clear. You also, though, have Saturn at the bottom of your chart. Saturn in Aquarius, but it is hugging your IC. It's at the bottom of your chart. And so with what you're describing about you and your partner's desire to like keep it kind of like in the family in a queer way, as opposed to in your biological family way, it's in part, from my perspective, from, you know, what I'm seeing in your chart is your desire to protect the traditions that are unique to your queer culture without having other people bring their judgments to it, which will make it less about celebration. Am I hearing that right?
That feels really accurate.
Yeah. And so that said, I mean, you are getting married. Whether or not you do it, you know, at a government house, you are getting married and you are bringing your family of origin into the mix because you have so much fucking Capricorn and Saturn in you. You know, this is where I, you know, and I don't usually like in the first 2 seconds, like give you what I think is like a potential answer. Usually I build up to it, but I want to just come back to what your real motives are towards your family of origin, but also towards you and your partner and this wedding. And it's not just about you and your partner. It's also, I mean, being in a situation where you have like a bunch of radical queers coming together for a dance party. And then there's a bunch of people who are just like completely have never been in this kind of environment, you know, whether or not they're homophobic or transphobic, they might also just be like not party people, not people who are, I mean, I'm looking at your chart and I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of not party people invited from your family.
Yeah. My dad's side of the family in particular.
Very not party people.
They're and like so, modern art wasps.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like there's something about this that will be a cultural mismatch. Even if we pull out the queer piece, it's a cultural mismatch because of the way that you are planning this. And so I cannot help but wonder if there's not a way that you can rent out a restaurant or, you know, like something like that, where you have like a meal where you're like, this is our wedding meal that we're inviting our family of origin and maybe a couple besties to. And it is more about including them in this decision you're making of getting married, but doing it in a way that actually works for you. So it is segmented. It is like put kind of to a side. And the reason why I asked if your parents would help is because if you've already paid for this wedding, I mean, this is not a free idea. Even if you decided to like do your own cooking, it's not a free idea, right? So
sure.
I wonder if that's something the two of you have considered. And I'm just going to say one more thing before you answer, which is you've got so much Capricorn in your chart. I don't buy it that you don't give a fuck about how your family of origin will feel. Like, I think you really care. And it's not the only thing you care about. And it might not be in your list of priorities, top three, but because this is your marriage and theoretically, hopefully your only one, I do think you care enough about what your family feels and how you feel your family treats you and your partner to consider making compromises that work, that don't compromise you.
Yes. And I think what this has brought up for me is it's like it started off. And even when I wrote this question, I was like, oh, I'm going to be a little sassy and write like, you know, I felt like I was reaching out in a, not a sarcastic, like a genuine, but kind of a little bit of a sassy way. And then
of course,
after I submitted the question, so much anger came up. And I think like just thinking about, yeah, I'm like already feeling betrayed and I haven't even given people an opportunity to show up.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And this is.
So it's care, but it's not like, oh, because I mean, maybe on some level, it's like, because I love you so much and I want you there, but I have like some rage stuff that's happening and it's making me want to like cut people out.
Yeah. What's happening is that there's a part of you that wants to act out as a way to prove that you have a right to do live how you live and do what you're doing.
Yes.
And that is not the best way to start your adult marriage, whether it's like a legal government marriage or not.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
It's like an act of rebellion.
Which centers them. Because when you're rebelling against something or someone, you're centering the person that you're rebelling against. You're not actually centering your choices. You're centering your defensiveness around your right to make those choices.
Yeah.
Which is not romantic or sexy or fun. It's not like a good memory. And so I love that you haven't sent out your invitations yet. And I do wonder, because part of what I'm hearing is that like having a wedding and not inviting any family, that doesn't really make sense for you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it would just be a different thing. It would be like a party, but we have been talking about it as a wedding.
Mm-hmm. There are so many ways that you could make a family-oriented component, you know, before the party. And you could say you are invited to the party, but it is going to be this very queer dance party. So I'm guessing that it might not be exactly your scene, but I would first, you know, why don't we, you could do a reception, right? So you could just like have cocktails and snacks. You could do a meal. Like there's, I'm not a wedding expert, as you know. So like there's a lot of things that I think happen in the world of weddings that you could do some small part of that would include them and hold space for your love and the life that you're trying to build as an adult that doesn't require you to feel like shit about yourself or to feel like shit about them. And part of a wedding, if we're being totally honest, and this is like, of course, coming from the least romantic person about weddings in the world, but part of the thing about a wedding is like inviting your friends and family to give you prezzies. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, we've been, it's just fitting into the kind of rebellion thing where it's like, we're not doing a registry. Like we're not asking anyone for help. Like, I think there's a lot of protection that we've been trying to build around giving people an opportunity to say anything about
about how you do a thing.
Yeah,
so again
I think it's coming from a place of fear.
Yeah, it's defensiveness. And is your partner the same age as you?
Yeah, we're 6 months apart.
Okay, so you're the same age. Yeah, here's the thing, you are post Saturn return, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But it was kind of recent.
Very, very recent. Very, very recent post Adam Return. And one of the things that I think is super important about adult years, which are post Adam Return years, is instead of making choices in reaction to our childhood, in reaction to our parents, in reaction to our community of origin, it's we get to start making choices that are an embodiment of the kind of fucking adult we want to be. What's happening now for you is that you're not giving yourself the gift of the choice that you're making. You're doing it in a way that still centers whether it's how they feel or what they think or your projections into or your fears into what they feel or think. And that you are robbing yourself. You are robbing yourself. They're actually not robbing you. Maybe they will. But in this moment, it's just you robbing you.
Yeah. And it tracks for like a lot of different areas of my life. So I'm already feeling it's like it hit a little bit.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry / you're welcome. Both.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll be fine.
Yes. So I think that there's like two things that really come up for me around this. One is I'm going to come back to the Prezi's thing, right? Because whether or not you make, unless you say, do not give us a present, which people still will give presents because it's a wedding, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's not like you're saying, come to a celebration of our love. You're saying, come to our wedding. That has, the word wedding has meaning, right? Like I could say, I'm having a party, or I can say, I'm having a birthday party. And if I'm having a birthday party, even if I say, don't bring presents, some people will. Right. Everyone's going to be like, oh my God, Jessica, happy birthday. Right. A wedding is a thing. And you are, my very, very Capricorn friends, having a thing that has, you know, centuries of meaning behind it. Everybody has a feeling about what a wedding means. Right. There's a definition to this.
Yeah.
So I want to like call you into the messiness of your intention around what it means to have a wedding. Now, I don't mean to suggest that you can't have a fucking queer as hell wedding, that you can't have an alternative wedding, but it's like you're changing the definition without creating a new definition.
Yeah.
And so, of course, people are going to handle it poorly because you haven't told them how to handle it correctly.
Yeah, that sticks.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
I'm like, you should just know, obviously, if you had done your research about like queer people, then you would just know and shut
okay,
up.
Okay, so here's a fun fact.
That's how I feel.
I came out of the closet before you were born, and I don't know what you mean by queer wedding, because I've been to lots of different queer weddings, but they haven't been exactly what you're describing. I don't know what you're talking about inherently. Like I could psychic it if I was trying, but like just based on what you've told me, my gay ass has no firm clarity about what you mean. Because you're both saying you're getting married and you're not getting married. It's a party, but it's a wedding. So you're giving me mixed messages.
Oh my God, it sounds so arrogant.
No.
It sounds so arrogant.
No, no, I don't think it is. I think what it is, and I won't speak for your partner because your partner is not in this reading and I'm not actually looking at them energetically right now at all. But I think what is happening is that you want two things at the same time that a little bit contradict each other, and you're not fully owning that piece. I mean, I have been to different kinds of weddings in my life, right? And some of them, you know, they don't get government married. Some of them they do, but, you know, it's more traditional than others or whatever. But usually when people say wedding, they mean wedding.
Yeah.
They mean wedding. They mean like, now we are married. We want you to celebrate that we're making this choice in public, right? Like it's a thing. It's a thing. It's a thing.
Yeah, my mind is like racing around right now, trying to figure out how I would describe the intention behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming up with like, I have like 25 different things and they all sort of contradict each other.
Okay, good. That's great. Because what that means is 150% people will disappoint you, right? It's a setup. And that's good for you to become more aware of, because with more awareness, you have more choices, because you are fucking entitled to be in love with somebody who has 25 different ideas of what it means to be married, just like you do. And the two of you go forth and say, we're going to get married, but we're not going to get married. And we're going to have a party, but it's not going to be a traditional party. And, you know, the two of you are on the same page with this, right?
Yeah.
But when you invite your family of origin and you don't give them definitions or clarity, and you don't even have clarity, then again, you're robbing yourself. Because you could say to them, we're having this party because we're super in love. It's not exactly a wedding, but it's a celebration of our intention to be together forever. Or you could say to them, we're getting married and you're invited. And those are very different statements. They're going to be heard very differently.
Yeah. I think there's a part of me that almost like has been wanting to use this as an opportunity to tell people in my family that I don't like them or I don't like their husbands.
Okay. Excellent. Good. So here's my question to you. Do you want to use your wedding to drop those bombs?
No, that's sad. I mean, it's sad, but like also, yeah.
Okay. So this is really important. It's your fucking wedding and you can do what you want. There is a song, It's My Party and I'll Cry If I Want To. You can play that song as long as you like. Like, you are allowed to use this as a way to like basically like put, be like, fuck you. Middle finger in your face, fuck you. It won't work. I'll tell you that. Because nobody is going to see your beautiful queer wedding and think, oh, my marriage is bad. Nobody's going to do that. They're not going to get the message that you have because you're not actually communicating the message.
Yeah. Thank you for saving me the trouble.
Yes. And also, again, you're robbing yourself. So you're taking this day that's meant to be an embodiment of your choices and you're centering people you don't like for their choices that you don't like.
Yeah.
That's not what you want. Because what that does is it creates a foundation. Like, if there's a reason to get married, if the reason to get married is to be like, we are starting something here and now, we are like putting a flag down for our love one way or another, then if you have it embedded in that foundation, fuck yous to other people, centering people who you think have made bad choices, then you put resentment in your foundation.
Yeah. I'm feeling that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want that. Like, you for sure don't want that. And also, you can, if it's actually important to you to be like, my big, fat, delicious queer life is this, and I'm comfortable with making you uncomfortable with it because you've made me uncomfortable with your traditional straight life. If that's important to you, again, may I introduce you to an awkward dinner? An awkward dinner is a traditional time-honored thing with family, wherein you can actually like make a commitment to your partner that is heartfelt, that you're also aware is educating your family of origin. We are choosing each other in this egalitarian way. We are doing this because what it doesn't mean is X. If that's important to the two of you, you can do that. But I want to encourage you to not rob yourself of the joy of the party that celebrates your very queer life by centering people that aren't going to be respectful of it or are just going to be so overwhelmed that they don't know what to do. And then you're going to read that as judgment.
Yeah. I think part of the anxiety around this question for me too is, and maybe this is because I'm just like what you said about just being on the other side of Saturn return and having this kind of like relationship to my childhood being pretty charged up. I'm thinking about not being able to handle other people's discomfort or being like triggered by it and then not enjoying a night that we've like spent money on and are looking forward to.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't think there's an age that a person gets to where we stop caring about our family at all. Like, if you're the kind of person who's going to bother to invite your family somewhere, you are also inevitably the same person who cares about those people. Now, you might care about those people with resentments and defenses and insecurities and judgments and all that stuff, but you still care about them. If you didn't care about them, you wouldn't invite them. I mean, the opposite of love is not hate. It's apathy. And you are not apathetic enough towards your family of origin that you're not thinking about inviting them.
Yeah.
So if you were to bring them someplace that they would not understand, that would not resonate for them, yeah, they're going to make you feel bad. They're going to make you feel awkward. You're going to have people watching you party.
Yeah. Yeah. I've thought about that, like sort of a fishbowl.
Yeah. Why would you do that to yourself?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds horrible.
And I'm assuming that most of your friends are around your age.
Yeah. Within like 10 years.
So like 20s, 30s, or 30s, 40s, or somewhere between
30s,
20s and
40s.
40s. Okay, 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing most of your family is older than that.
My parents are Gen X and my siblings are all younger than me.
Okay, so
So
your siblings
there's.
are young, but the siblings are actually, we're going to have a different conversation about your siblings.
Okay.
We're talking about the extended family. They're all
Yeah.
older than that, right?
Yes.
And I want to just ground you into my very Capricorn friend, the fact that you're inviting a bunch of old people to a dance party.
Yeah.
So let's pull out the queerness, right? Let's just pull out the queerness, which is impossible, but like let's pretend, right? What are they gonna do? They're gonna fucking dance. They're not gonna dance. They're gonna party. They're not gonna party. They're older people. So again, you're setting yourself up. Like there's an inevitability, even if this was a super straight party, the way that you're planning this party is not really older people friendly.
Sure. Yeah. And we've like kind of explicitly not invited people's kids too. But
Okay,
that's
kind
because
of
I work
explicit.
with kids. Yeah.
Okay,
I don't
okay,
want to be
okay.
at work.
So this is really clear, right? Like you know the
Yeah.
kind of party you're trying to have. And I think that this is really, really important, right? Like again, what I think we're just really coming to is bringing your family of origin to this celebration of your love and your the start of your marriage. It's an act of self-harm. And also it's motivated by resentments. It's not
Yeah.
motivated by like, I want you to enjoy this and I feel proud and I want you to feel good about this too. So it's a great thing that you haven't sent out the invites yet. And it's a great thing that your parents haven't helped you yet. Either of your parents haven't helped you yet because you might be able to say, hey, we've been thinking about doing this thing where we have like just a dinner party for the family. Would you be able to help at all? And they can
Yeah.
say no, but they can say yes. And you don't have to feel guilty for asking because you are doing it for your family. And I will say, traditionally, weddings are not for the couple. Weddings are for the in-laws. They're for the family, which, you know, is on the very long list of reasons why I'm not getting married. But, you know, like, but that is the reality of wedding.
Yeah.
Like the amount of readings I've given in my career about the tragedy of compromising for family of origin, for what you want for a wedding. I've given so many readings about it because that is true for even very traditional straight couples. It's just part of the choice of becoming
Yeah.
family because you're bringing in your family of origin when you choose to become family with each other. You don't have to do it that way, but you are doing it that way of your own design.
I know it's, I'm thinking like, wait, maybe we could 180 though and not do it,
And not do it at
which is
all.
where we were at for like a year and a half.
So
Yeah.
you can do that. Let me throw something else in the mix because you have a Scorpio rising and you've Pluto conjunct your ascendant. You go into extremes. So you're like, either they're invited to the dance party that is going to be super queer, or they're invited to nothing. They're cut out the story. And what I'm suggesting is, or maybe you set the intention that 1 year after your wedding, you're going to have a dinner party for your family of origin. And it will be like you're like, oh, look, we, you know, we've come together and we want to now bring the family together. You know, this is how our queer life is doing it. Maybe you do the week before your dance party wedding, you do a family wedding, a family dinner, you know, reception. I want to just give you multiple options because that part of you that's like it's either or is not your happy place parts, it's your defensive parts. And if what you're doing is building a foundation with your betrothed, the less it can be about resentments, the better for you and for them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, the thing about your siblings, how old are they? What's the youngest one?
She's 21, she'll be 22 in May.
Oh, great. Okay, so they're adults. Just invite them to the wedding.
Yeah, I'm not as worried about my siblings and I'm not as
Correct.
worried about my parents, but
Correct.
there's like they're great allies in the way that they show up for my partner and I, but then the other people that come with them
Right.
sometimes is where I get really stuck. And I feel that way about straight friends too.
Yeah, that's real.
It feels like the amount of exposure that I've had to like predatory or like just abusive straight cis men through my like really close straight cis girlfriends has been coming up for me a lot lately in the last year.
So there's okay. So there's the part that's about like straight cis guys, which we'll just like we'll acknowledge and then leave to the side.
Sure.
And then there's the part about your family and your wedding. From what I'm seeing astrologically and psychically, your siblings are not the problem. You can invite your siblings, be like, hey, it's going to be very fucking queer. You are welcome to dip at any time. You do not need to stay. Come, have fun, leave when it's not fun anymore. And that'll be easy. I think you can say the same thing to your parents. They'll come for the first 2 hours and they'll go home. That's what it looks like. Like, it looks like they'll stay, but when it's not fun or when they can't be supportive, they'll leave.
Yeah.
So that looks to me like it's not a problem. And I want to acknowledge that you can talk to them about the idea of including more family in another venue and the pros and cons of it, and still invite them to your actual, like, you know, very, very queer wedding.
School boards and lawmakers around the country are banning and challenging books at a pace not seen since the 1980s. The American Library Association tracked 729 challenges to library, school, and university materials and services in 2021. And librarians have even been threatened with criminal charges and jail time in some places in this country for lending out challenged books. You can contact your representatives about this issue by emailing, calling, or tweeting at them, and above all else, buy banned and challenged books. Support the important work of authors who are being banned or challenged, and in the process, support independent bookstores. My favorite bookstore, Marcus Books, is the oldest independent Black-owned bookstore in the country and has a banned and challenged book list on their website. You can go to marcusbooks.com to see this list and to shop, or visit whatever independent bookstore that you love. Support banned and challenged books and authors today.
Now, I think that there's a part of you that just wants this wedding to be a little bit of a fuck you to like the repressive parts of cis straight world. And if that's the case, what I want to encourage you to do is sit with those feelings, certainly through the eclipse, sit with those feelings, sit with them, sit with them, sit with them, sit with them, feel them, so that you can understand, is part of your motivation for getting married actually about resentment? Is part of your motivation for having this party pageantry of a sort? And all wedding is pageantry. Like, that's not inherently, you know, unusual or whatever, but is it a pageantry of like, fuck you? And
yeah,
if that's,
no, I feel that.
Yeah. And that if that's the case, you know, maybe you and your partner agree on it. And that is your choice as a team. You're a team. Like, you get to make that call. But if that's not what you want, it's the wedding isn't in 2 weeks or anything, right? Like, you have time to make changes.
No. We have time to make changes.
Yeah. All of this to say, when I was prepping your chart for our reading, I was like, oh, look, there's no challenging transits. That's unusual. There's no challenging transits happening to you. That's really unusual. Usually when people reach out to me, there's some shit going down, but there isn't shit going down. And so this is mixed news I'm going to give you. Your misery is by your own design. You are the architect of your own problems, because your family isn't fucking with you. You're fucking with you.
Yeah.
And this brings me to like a little bit of a contradiction again that I've kind of spoken to, but I'll speak to one more time, which is you do want to get married. You are very young and you are still like, I'm going to get married. I'm getting married. That's not unusual. That's not bad or good. It is, however, a little heterotypical.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I don't mean to hurt your feelings in any way. It's not, and again, that's not bad or good, but I think you have bad feelings about it. And so you're compensating for those bad feelings by being like, fuck you all, I'm so gay. But, and you are, I'm not going to take your queerness from you. I'm not going to even come near it. But I do want to like acknowledge there's like a mixed message that you're holding in your heart around this.
Yeah. And I think it's a feeling my partner and I share. And like we had talked about getting married, but I think it was something that we were saying to each other early on in our relationship, just as an expression of like, oh my gosh, I want to be with you forever.
Right.
And then when their dad died, for me, it came up really strongly as like wanting to make a commitment that going through grief together was not just going to be something that I wasn't taking on as like a life partner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, we're not like strictly monogamous. Like, where there's like lots of other parts of our relationship that are not, I feel like kind of square peg, round hole with even the word wedding. And I'm wondering if like the family part was really just about wanting to show everyone that like I was going to be like, I'm okay and my life is good and I'm like a normal adult and everyone can stop speculating about that, which, yeah, really feels like some architecture shit.
Yeah. Listen, you have 700 million planets in Capricorn in the house of Taurus. You are conventional in some ways. Now Uranus is in the mix and it's, you know, it like queerifies everything. But it is not bad. There's nothing negative inherently to have the traditional value of I have a person that is my person that I want to commit to, and I want the world to know that I've committed. And I am choosing a path in this life, and I want my family to know that I'm not choosing it alone, that someone loves me. There is nothing you need to feel bad about, and there's nothing inherently unqueer about it. There's nothing that you should feel bad about, but you do. And because you do, what you're doing is out of alignment, right? And I don't know, is it the word wedding that's out of alignment? I actually don't think it is. I actually think wedding is in alignment. I think you, I mean, the reason why your romantic life was like you falling in love with this person and you're like, well, I'm going to marry you, that is a part of you that you that that's what you would think, not I'm going to buy you a boat. You know, you went straight to marriage. You know, there's a lot of different ways that that sentiment can be expressed, but you went straight to marriage. This has nothing to do with monogamy. It has nothing to do with being straight or not straight or cis or not cis. It just has to do with the way in which you love and the way in which you feel and are setting intentions to be with someone and be there for someone, right? And I think that if you give yourself and your partner more space to get clearer about what you're doing and why, you will then be able to figure out the cleanest, healthiest motivations for involving your family of origin or not. And you don't have to involve your family of origin past, you know, your immediate family. And if you do, you can do it any fucking way you want. But I do encourage you to not set yourself up for something that's going to make you feel bad and make them feel bad and rob you of the pure enjoyment of this very dynamic queer wedding party that you have planned.
Yeah. No, it doesn't feel good to go about it in an antagonizing way because
Which is
that's
why there
not
was the
the point.
question, right?
Yeah.
It's not the point. It's not the point. And also, I will say, like, when I look at your family, it's not like I'm looking at like Trump supporters and like people who are like, yeah, fuck all those queers, fuck all those trans people. Am I correct about that?
There's one.
One.
There's one who's like that, but the rest are not.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it. It looks like, I mean, they're not like queerdos in San Francisco, but they're, you know, they're like middle of the road liberals.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I would say that they're mostly artists. They're very progressive and have shown me like they've loved me in ways, especially my parents and my siblings. They've loved me in ways that actually do feel really good. I think it took me a like I came out to my mom when I was like 25 and I had been sitting on it for like 14 years. And I
Okay.
think I really, really struggled with that transition. It wasn't because I was afraid of her politics.
It was about you.
Yeah.
You could have come out to her when you were a teenager, but it was
Yeah.
about you. Again, you don't get 7 million planets in Capricorn and just be unequivocally weird. And it just, it's not a thing. Like, as a triple Capricorn myself, I feel in myself like I'm very conservative. Like I'm very normie. I know I'm not in a lot of ways, but there's those parts when you have a lot of personal planets in Capricorn, right? So not just that millennial generation Neptune Uranus, but like when you have personal planets in Capricorn, you have a part of you that is like always going to be think holding yourself up against mainstream normal culture. which is straight. And again, nothing in your chart makes me think that comes from your parents at you. It comes from the world.
It's really like self-disciplining is how it feels.
Yeah. And so there are so many problems that you have, and there's so many problems that you will have. Why create a problem is what I say. And this is a little bit of you creating a problem because it somehow feels easier than just sorting through the emotions on your own.
Yeah. The emotions feel really intense.
Yeah, they are. They're really intense. It's real. You're not wrong. But again, if you're going to bother creating your own family, if you're going to bother getting married, do it on your terms. Do it in your way. And again, I will say straight, gay, other. Most people compromise around wedding planning. That's, you know, a thing. That's like a normal thing. But it's important that you do it with clarity about what you're compromising about instead of setting yourself up to feel bad because you're inviting somebody to something that you know everybody's going to be uncomfortable with. Like literally every person's going to be uncomfortable, right? So will you say your partner's name for me? I mean, you guys are very aligned with this, which is why you went so far in such a weird direction with this like, fuck you, wedding plan kind of thing. Yeah. You're very aligned with this. And while I think it's a bad idea to make a spite wedding, if the two of you agree with each other and the two of you are like, yeah, let's do a fucking spite wedding, then that's your choice to make, right? And I want to be really clear about this is that you have choices. You have choices. You get to choose whatever kind of marriage you want to have, right? But you are planning a marriage one way or another. And the best thing that I think you can do is to make sure that it's not a reaction to other people. Instead, it's an embodiment of who you are and what you want to invest in moving forward. That's my hope for you. You don't have to do shit. You get to do whatever you want. That's the whole joy of adulthood. It's also the pain in the ass of adulthood, but it's the joy of adulthood. That said, do you have any questions for me?
I think like just even thinking about navigating the feelings that come up when it's not like an all or nothing. And I know I have some struggles holding boundaries for myself. And so just the feelings that come up, anticipating having those kinds of conversations or even just doing that work with myself, I'm like already stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering if there's any strategies I can use based on my chart to not be so stressed out about that.
I'm not actually sure why you're stressed. I don't think you're sure why you're stressed.
No.
Because you were willing to have kind of like a spite wedding where you were like, fuck you to all your family members. But sorting through the feelings of it feels too stressful. That's interesting, right?
I'm like a lightweight confrontational person. Like I'll do the confrontation. I'll like speak my truth. I'll be really firm. And then I'll go home and I'll freak out about it.
Right. Panic is what it looks like. Panic. Because you do have Neptune very close to your sun. So I think the thing that might help you is getting some structure here, right? I would encourage you to maybe like come up with some questions, maybe by yourself, maybe with your partner, about why you're getting married. Why get married? Because again, every time I say married, your energy pulls back. Every time I keep on saying the word because your energy pulls back. Like, this is not what I'm doing. No, that's not me exactly.
I'm like, I don't want you to see me that way.
It's so interesting. So weird of you. Like, either get married and be fucking stoked that you're getting married or don't get married, right? Because there's actually not a rush. There's no reason to get married if you don't want to be married. But if you do want to be married, then why feel shame and guilt about it? So that's where you start. Why are you getting married? Have you clarified your relationship to the concept of marriage sufficiently? Because obviously, I think you have not, because you've got like a defensiveness there. And whenever we experience defensiveness, it's because something that we're doing is out of alignment. It's the only reason why you feel defensive, right? And that thing might be you're doing the right thing, but you haven't decided to own it. Maybe that's the way you're out of alignment, but it's still out of alignment some way, right? What is your definition of married? What is the point What is the value of getting married? What are the gifts of getting married? You know, what is the structure that you might want to like attribute to marriage? And that might mean any number of things, right? But these are questions to start exploring and asking yourself, is there something inherently wrong with straight culture? Is there something inherently wrong with using some of the tools of straight culture in your queer life? There's not right or wrong answers, but there's your truth at this time. And all that Capricorn in the second house is like, there's right and wrong. And what I want to affirm for you is there's not right and wrong. There's right and wrong for you at this time. So it's about owning what's authentic to you. And I don't think you're going to be able to do this without panic, to be honest, because obviously it makes you uncomfortable and you're willing to kind of almost passive aggressively provoke circumstances that entitle you to getting married. That's kind of the plan you've got here, right? It's like this weird workaround that is you robbing you. It's you robbing you. And what would happen if your fucking family showed up and they were a little awkward, but they didn't do anything wrong and then they left? That would also make you feel weird.
Yeah.
Because inviting them to a very, very gay dance party is actually not in alignment for you. It's not. And it's not because they don't belong there, actually. That's not the reason why.
Yeah. It's funny that you use the phrase passive aggressive, because I think that's one of the reasons I don't like that part of the family. I'm like, oh, they're so passive aggressive. So to hear that I'm
being a little passive aggressive. Yeah. I mean, it's a cultural thing, right? It's a cultural thing that is like consistent with your cultural background, right?
Yeah.
It's like a Protestant, white Protestant thing, is it not?
Which is that side of the family, but the other part of my family is like Jewish socialist.
Mm. So the part that you're more comfortable inviting is
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So listen, the part of you that comes from the cultural background of we don't speak to things directly, we smile pleasantly, we are polite, we are indirect with the things we disagree with, and we are direct with the things we agree with, right? That like white Protestant part of your background, right?
Yeah.
Is alive and well inside of you. And it is driving the car more than you want it to. And the reason why it's driving the car is because you've repressed it. So you didn't clock it because you're so busy like actively trying to repress it. And what I want to say is our cultural background, it's not bad or good. I mean, of course there are things, but it's more about identifying and accepting, oh, this is what I come from. And this is what is in my epigenetics, and this is in my cultural upbringing. This is what is inside of me. How do I want to orient in response to it, right? Because what you are, this plan is, you know, this kind of like what I'm kind of dubbing spite wedding. It is a little passive aggressive. It's like, it's a setup. You're setting yourself up as much as you're setting them up, but it's a bit of a setup. And in the short term, your coping mechanisms are telling you, it is better for me to act like I'm inviting people with, you know, in good faith when I know I'm not, then figuring out how to understand why you're not, because they're actually not your enemies. And maybe there's a part of you that would feel more like radically queer if they were or something.
Yeah. I've thought about that. Not that it would be easier, but just that it would be different.
It would be different. Like how does it track to have a family that's not especially educated about queer issues and not especially progressive, but totally fine. They're going to get it wrong sometimes, but they're fine. Because that's actually more closer to your situation.
I was worried this was going to be about whiteness, and it feels like it's like what I'm hearing right now.
A little bit. I mean, it's not just about whiteness. It's about white. Yeah. No, I guess it is. Yeah. It's about whiteness. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it is about your own ability to be yourself without having to be yourself in reaction. And again, I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. The most important thing is if you're building a foundation, that you build it with clarity and with intention. And again, you know, I'm sure you have plenty of problems. You'll have plenty more in life. Don't worry. You'll have plenty of problems. Don't generate problems where they don't exist. there isn't in your family of origin any kind of meaningful oppression that I'm seeing, which is great. It doesn't mean you don't feel bad. It doesn't mean that you're not entitled to feeling bad or, you know, left out or whatever, because being queer is being different. And every queer person understands straight culture, but not every straight person understands queer culture. And even within queer culture, there's so many queer cultures. What separates me and you, I mean, we live in the same area. We're both queer, but, you know, I mean, we're separated by time. I'm much older than you, right? So it's like there's like cultural differences there, but we could be the same age and have cultural differences within our queerness.
Mm-hmm.
And there can be like misunderstandings there too, but they're not rooted in oppression, repression, cruelty. They're rooted in a need to communicate where we're coming from and what our values are, so that we can kind of have mutual understanding.
Yeah. I'm feeling really embarrassed right now.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. That's terrible.
Not by you, but just kind of in general.
Okay. So let's stay with that for a minute, because this is a pattern for you. There's like a blustering that comes up. Your Saturn in a fixed sign, square to your Pluto in a fixed sign, can kind of like be aggressive. And then once that kind of deflates, the Neptune kicks in. What I want to ground you into is, have you even done anything wrong? Having these complicated feelings is not wrong. It's complicated. It's complicated. And if you can give yourself permission to be fucked up and complicated, then you have to give other people permission to be fucked up and complicated. And I think this is really like at its crux where the struggle is. Is that there's a part of you and your partner that are like, we're going to do this fucking radical cool thing as a team. And we're going to pit ourselves against others. And it comes from kind of like a rigidity inside of yourselves. And some of it's fun. And some of it's hot. And some of it's like politically a yes, like ideologically a yes. What's going to help you moving forward is to think, okay, there has to be a dial, like an old school analog dial, so that you can turn up and down the volume on that, so that the two of you can have that, but then also recognize where it needs to be at a 10 and where it doesn't, where it serves you to be at a 10 and where it doesn't. And you 100% are allowed to be wrong, make mistakes, overdo it, underdo it. And it's really important that you give yourself permission to do that without beating yourself up. Because part of what I'm seeing is that overwhelm that you were asking me about. You're like, okay, well, how do I even approach these emotions? So we started to talk about it. And then the embarrassment comes in. So what the embarrassment does is it shuts you down so that you just can't anymore. You can't explore. Then you get stuck in this one place because it's either like entitlement or embarrassment. Or whatever it is, like whatever the high low of these emotions are. And what I want to encourage you to sit with, like in this moment, and then whenever embarrassment comes up, is, okay, I'm embarrassed that I made a mistake, or that I was on the verge of making a mistake. More accurately, you didn't actually make the mistake, but you were on the verge of making a mistake. Okay, can I learn from this? Can I apply what I'm figuring out? Because you have all this fucking Capricorn in you. And Capricorn can be very conservative, but it's a conservationist zodiac sign. So there's a difference between conservatism and conservation, right? Conservatives will tell you that they're conservationists. They're fucking not, as we know. There is a way that you can conserve your energy by actually learning from mistakes and failings and all this kind of thing. So it's applying the lesson. That's all you need to learn to do, is to apply the lesson, so that you don't lose time and energy on guilt or resentment. They're both kind of the same thing. They're completely not, but they are.
Yeah. I think I've never had my chart read before. And I think part of the reason is because I know I have so much Capricorn, but I feel like a fail. Like, I feel like I'm a failure Capricorn. Like, I can't actually.
Can I tell you how many questions I get for the podcast saying I'm a failed Capricorn? It's so weird. I don't know why people think that you can't fail your zodiac signs, but it's, and why do you think that? What is, where does that come from?
I think I know other people who have a lot of Capricorn placements who like have great jobs and like just seem to kind of have their shit together and make decisions that seem to just be a little bit more like if you're gonna have that conservatism, like make choices that are in alignment with it. Whereas I feel like I have that sort of like emotionally, like my compass is aligned with it, but I don't make decisions that actually support part of me because I think it's kind of dumb. I don't want to be like that.
Here's the thing. Comparing yourself to other people is a huge waste of your time and energy. Obviously, all the time, in all contexts. Let's just be realistic, right? Comparison's a thief of joy. The other thing is, the last few months you've been 30 and you're about to get married. I mean, it seems pretty on fucking track for like typical Capricorn development, right? Having a career or having a marriage, they're the two biggies that you tend to expect from Capricorns around Saturn returning time. So you say you're not a typical Capricorn, but I don't see it that way as an astrologer because
Okay.
you're literally reaching out about your marriage. This
Oh
is like
God.
a
Okay.
very Capricorn, you know what I'm saying? But this is the thing, is you're comparing yourself to very specific people with very specific things. Like, God willing, you're not comparing yourself to me. I'm your parents' age, right? So, like, hopefully you're not comparing yourself to people who are your parents' age, because what would be the point of these many years in between my age and your age, if not growth and development? All to say, there's no wrong way to be a Capricorn. There's only living in alignment and not living in alignment. And there are ways that you are absolutely living in alignment, and there are ways that you are not, like every other 30-year-old on the planet ever since time began. Period. Okay. Like at 30, I know that there's so much pressure that people place on themselves. They're like, oh my God, 25, I'm a quarter of a century. Like every 25-year-old says that to themselves. I'm a quarter of a century old. You start telling yourself how old you are in your 20s when most of your adult experiences include your teen years. But at 30, some of your adult experiences, you include your teen years in your thinking, most people, right? Because you're young still. You're very young. So give yourself the space to figure out what kind of person you want to be. Because the truth of the matter is, having all that Capricorn in the second house means that all that ambition and that conservatism is, some astrologers will say about money. I won't, because I'm a fucking anti-capitalist. I'm going to, and also because you have Neptune in the second house. So it gives you an anti-capitalist bent yourself. But what it does mean is that all that Capricorn ambition goes towards your value system,
Yeah.
towards identifying your values and living with your values. Personally, me, I'm a triple Capricorn, but I'm a 12th house Capricorn. All that ambition goes towards my spiritual and internal development because the house is really fucking important. So you don't want to just look at the zodiac signs. You want to look at the house placement because that tells you where that energy gets applied. It gets applied to second house themes for you. So it's your values, which is again why in our reading, I have brought you back to what are your values really? Like figure out what it is that's motivating you. That's like your kind of like magic door that you can open in yourself. Is career the most important thing to you? Obviously, no. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a Capricorn or not. It's not the most important thing to you. Now, is it important to you? Yes. But is it the most important thing? No. Your chart is very much pointed towards your personal life. And you're engaged to be married. I don't want to have to keep reminding you, but I feel like I do, is that you're engaged to be married. So you're not off course, right?
Yeah. And
Unless, of
I
course, you're trying to
really,
marry
really,
someone you don't like.
no, I was just gonna say, I really fucking love this person.
Right. My dude, how are you off course? How are you not a Capricorn? You cannot convince me. That's not very Capricorn. It's the traditionalist part of you. That's the Capricorn part, right? You get married. You got engaged during your Saturn return. And that doesn't mean you're not a wild and radical queerdo. You get to be complicated and lots of things at once. We all do. What really I think a lot of this is about is you giving yourself permission to be what you are. It's
Yeah.
not about you needing permission from your family. Your family, it doesn't matter, actually. They're not going to stop you from doing anything, like literally, like anything.
No, but it matters when they bring something up and I'm not solid enough about it in
There it is.
myself to hold
Yeah.
it down.
There it is. And I think that in those moments, instead of like collapsing, or doubling down, which are your two very opposing but most consistent instincts
Sure, yeah.
to name it for yourself. Oh shit, this is bringing up something that I don't know what my values are around this. I don't know. I don't know myself right here. Name it. Pull up the notes in your phone. Put it in a bullet point list. Oh shit, I do not know what I really and truly feel. This feels off. What they're saying feels off, but I don't know why. Write it down and then return to it. Think about it. Be curious about it. Explore it. Watch fucking TED Talks about it, or like scroll fucking TikTok and like just see, like put it in the search bar. Like values about marriage, queer values about marriage. Be influenced by lots of people's thinking so that you can explore your own thinking instead of going into basically like panic and insecurity, or doubling down and getting kind of like, fuck you about it. Both of those things obscure your values from you. And that's like, who's got time for that? I mean, technically you, but
it takes a lot of time though.
It does. You are robbing yourself. You are stealing from no one but yourself.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, that's actually good news for you, because you're the only one who's going to be helped and you're the only one who's going to be harmed. So that's actually kind of cool, because you get really freaked out when you're harming other people. So you're harming yourself. Congratulations. / let's get motivated for you to do that less. And okay, the way to do that less is to sit with your panicky insecurity feelings and be curious about them, so that you can go from guilt to humility. Guilt is a form of self-obsession. Now, in some circumstances, it is not. I'm not speaking about all the feelings of guilt in all the world. With all this Capricorn shit, guilt is a form of self-obsession, where you're just returning to yourself and being like, why did I do this? Why did I do this? Why did I do this? Whereas humility is, I did something that was out of alignment. Oh, I am something that is a little fucked up in here, and I can own that, and I have to learn. That's humility. And you are willing to learn. Now that Capricorn, you're actually very willing to learn once you get out of your own way, which, I mean, Scorpio rising with a Pluto conjunction, you're going to get in your way. And also person, just being a person, there's no astrological makeup that anyone has that makes them perfect. And there's especially no astrological makeup that anyone has that makes them perfect at the age of 30. That's not a thing. I say that the age 30, like it's so young, because I really believe it's so young. And when I was 30, I believed it was so young. Like, it's, as an astrologer, I really can't say enough how young 30 is. And I hope that doesn't sound like a criticism. Instead, it sounds like what I mean it for as like,
it sounds
it's
like
an
a relief.
Opening. It is a relief, because at 30, like at 29, when you have your Saturn return, you become an adult. So your 20s are the old age of your youth. Your childhood, rather. Your 20s are the old age of your childhood. So now you're not in your childhood anymore. For like a year, you're not in your childhood. That's what that means. So there's a lot of room for you to figure out who the hell you are. The most important piece of advice I can give you at this point is to practice sitting with and being curious about disappointment, resentment, and frustration. When you experience disappointment, resentment, or frustration in yourself or in others, that's when you need to be curious. Okay. That's like, I cannot stress this enough. Just be curious. I'm not saying find the answer. Note, I am not saying find the answer. I'm saying be curious, explore. I know you know how to do this. I know you do this in other parts of your life very well.
Yeah.
So apply that curiosity to yourself. Inevitably, you will feel better. I mean, sometimes you won't like what you find and you'll feel worse, but other times, but as a practice overall, you will feel better. So I know we went in deep. I really do hope this was helpful though.
It was. It doesn't feel like an easy solution, but I wasn't really expecting that from this. So.
Right. That's fair. That is fair. That is Capricorn on Capricorn violence, but it is also Capricorn on Capricorn love. So that's what we do.
But that's why I reached out to you.
Right.
So
right.
I appreciate it a lot.
My pleasure. Every year they say the end is near, but we're still here.